And David, to me, that's the weakness in projection of the omnibus leader. And this has always been my challenge with my interpretation of Caribbean politics. It works well in the Caribbean. It's just my personal worry about the way Caribbean politics has always been. We always have this image of the benevolent type of leader who will take us all along. That's why you had Mama P, that's why you had Uncle Gary, that's why you had the Dipper. There's this feeling that, you know, you rally around a leader that's going to take everybody forward. The problem with it is also could be your Achilles heel, because if everybody decides to cut your leader down, then the reaction would be defend the leader and move away from concentrating on the issues, which is a danger if you don't have a strategist.
Aren't we closer to what you are advocating in the leadership of Mr. Stewart?
Yes, David. Yes.
And in those circumstances, what is the danger?
The danger is you end up having no focus at all of who is going to take the whole caravan forward. That's why I said it's a twist, because the Caribbean likes strong leaders who say, I am in charge, this is my team, this is where we're going. It has worked in every circumstance that I could recall all throughout the Caribbean. I mean, Michael Manley in Jamaica. The only time I think it was put on the back burner, believe it or not, was in Barbados, when Tom came with, what was it, the Great Combination or the Big Combination? The Great Combination, because his personal standing was taking a hit.
David,
I don't think so.
I'd like to say
I don't think his personal standing was taking a hit, because Tom Adams had led the Labour Party through the 1974 period when we had the constitutional debates. He had taken on Barrow in the budget speeches.
But David, don't forget that Tom was carrying along what people would call baggage. You had to balance it off by saying, I have people behind me. So it was a great combination rather than I'm pulling all the punches. That was the only time I saw a change in the strategy of leaders saying, I'm in charge and I'm taking this thing forward. That's just my look.
I'd like to deal with the question of leadership in general.
Yes,
ma'am. All social groupings, if you have a grouping of cats, dogs, fish, birds, monkeys, they always have a leader naturally emerges. Grouping, social grouping, man is a social animal. A man needs to have a leader. And the leader is normally the person who stands out for whatever reason, who's stronger, faster, whatever, more decisive than the following.
You could beat up all the other people.
The strongest.
Lions don't do it like
that. So therefore, it is natural that people want to... A leader is symbolic. A leader is supposed to personify and represent the whole collective wisdom and knowledge and courage and all the finest attributes of the group. So that is why people select a leader. That's why people seek to follow a leader. And also, that is why people seek to attack a leader, because if you diminish the leader, especially in his followers' eyes, if you cause them to doubt, because in politics, sometimes you just have to cause doubts to diminish a person's effectiveness. And just quickly about the question of the location of Mr. The LP's launch. Peter had said about going to St. Michael's South. I understand his rationale for that. But again, to go to St. Michael's South might seem at this early stage to be a defensive position. When you go to St. Michael, where it is tonight, you are in an aggressive attacking position.
Agreed.
Against the opponent.
Agreed.
All right, Sangha, let's hear you before we go to the telephone.
I'll be very, very quick about the location. The National Stadium has been condemned. You no longer hold events there in terms of using the stands. So I'm just looking at the whole logistics of it. And when you bring your people there, you're bringing them to a place where you basically have, something that has failed on your stewardship. So what is the message you're sending there? That's the first thing that struck me. And the second thing that struck me was it was the ad when I saw it.
The bus.
The People's Army.
This army talk.
This bus thing.
Bothers me.
Okay. Listen, you know, let me say this. I can't walk it across it, but I mean, I looked at it, and you know my background, right? Yeah. And I went, who designed this?
I mean, last election,
I didn't see the ad, but everybody, let me borrow the word, bombarded brass tacks with this old lady on the bus. Mm-hmm. So now we throw the old lady off the bus and put an army. So no, I mean, to me, because of my Trinidad thing, right? You know, you go for the juggler. I would have some men in camouflage saying, get off my bus, I come in to take over. And to me, that's the wrong image. But anyway, that's my Caribbean,
It's funny that I am the only person that doesn't really see anything wrong with the army talk. And I think the bus is logical because they did well on the bus last time.
The bus worked last time.
Peter, you go Trinidad to Carnival. Let me ask you this. You go Trinidad to Carnival, right? You could imagine running that ad in Trinidad and somebody have the KVI chorale in the background saying, where the bus, the tongue, it break down? Seriously? Man, Peter, come on. You know what Pekong is in Trinidad and Tobago. But you can pull that stunt,
but that is not this.
But this is Barbados, that's my Caribbean.
Let me just say to you though that I mean, I see possibilities. I see possibilities coming from your opponent when you talk about army and soldiers in the context of this democratic exercise. Mm. The two don't go hand in hand.
Police powers bill.
I was wondering, I just see the possibilities. And I wait to see where that takes the Democratic Labour Party. But let me also say that if you look carefully at where the stage is being set up, it is not by
it's by Netball Stadium,
you know.
No, it's in Netball Stadium, which is still functioning.
We're outside the Netball, which, and you know, the politics of it is, but, and you couldn't use the biggest stadium that could have carried the people. No one, and then you have to settle for the other one.
But Cameron, they say if you put six sardines in a can, it looks full. So I guess that could be a strategy. It's just gone 3 minutes before noon. Let's go over and take our first call and say welcome to Brass Tack Sunday. You're on the air.
Yeah, top of the day to you.
Yes.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah. It's I am paying some specific attention to this election debate. But I want to just take your mind back a little. I attended the FTC 2018 annual lecture discussion this year, which was held on the 8th of March. The topic was protecting consumers in the digital era. I was able to itemize 18 times, and this is just me, not a group of people, that the Consumer Protection Act has been broken. Now, I saw a report in April in 2016 which suggests that government has spent 30% less on fuel import costs. Two questions stem to mind. When fuel on the world market increases, merchants in this country use that fact to increase goods and services to consumers. Now that the fuel has been decreased, I have not seen any pass on in lower prices to consumers. Now, let us now look at the more important area that you all are discussing, which is which government we should have. And I'm not here to tell anybody who they should vote for. I am assuming that people have been educated or not, as the case may be, and we use whatever common sense they have to do that. Now, between 19...
I don't think that discussion is taking place today, though. The way you've defined
We are merely assessing
the campaign as it has started out last night, and you know, the implications...
Yeah, but the campaign has wider implications, David.
Yes.
So I'm looking at the wider implications, because whether you use a stage or not, whether you do the foolishness that Mr. Murray is talking about, is beside the point. Let me just tell you what happened. Between 1994 and 2008, with Oenahsa leading the Barbados Labour Party, we were able to restore public sector salaries. There was economic growth in the country. There were the lowering of income taxes. And Barbados as a country flourished because there were a new suite of consumer legislation enacted by that government. And when that government left office in 2008, it left a massive surplus. Now, let us look at what happened between 2008 and the present time. There were just one public sector increase in 2008.
So where are you going with all of this?
I'm only giving you the facts, David.
Yeah, but we
this program...
But we have those facts already.
But I'm not saying
these
you don't.
Those facts have been articulated and repeated quite a lot over the recent past. I mean, we already know where we were and where we are. The big question is, we have to make a choice now about where we're going to go. And we have to listen to the ideas which have been advanced to determine that. Now, we have before us some ideas that were thrown out there last night by the Barbados Labour Party. And I would have thought that it would be more useful for us to look at those ideas than to merely recite the things that we already know.
Well, all right. Let's look at the new ideas. Now, since 2008, pensions have only been increased once during that whole term, and that was last year. People who are on fixed incomes have never really been receiving any increase in their pensions.
Mr. Tate, please, look, let's cut to the chase and appreciate this. The foreign reserves of Barbados are now at 6.9 weeks,
$423.3 million.
Right. The promise which has been made by the Barbados Labour Party last night, that and others, are against the backdrop of where the foreign reserves of Barbados happen to be right now. So I think it would be logical for most people to ask, how are you going to address problem number one? Well, there are two number one problems, I suppose. The sewage project, the sewage project rather, and trying to deal with this economic slide. So if you're going to be able to be able to give, you're going to have to correct those issues. So we want to hear in the coming days exactly what they're going to do. Are they going to be bold enough? And they how, yeah.
Definitely. All right, so we move on. Brastack Sunday, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Hi, good afternoon. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Blaine and David.
It's the whole team.
No, it's the morning of the panel. Mm-hmm. But I mean something good morning. I said earlier. Mm-hmm. As far back as 2010, right? According to the World Bank and Wikipedia, Barbados' economy was at a near $7 billion economy. It has now contracted now to be a $4.7 billion economy. Barbados per capita GDP per capita back then was the second highest in the Caribbean, only to the Bahamas, right? Barbados has now fallen back, I think, either fourth or fifth in the Caribbean now, right? So I just want to mention that because they were talking about the value of Barbados' economy, right? It is now a $4.7 billion economy, down from almost $7 billion back in 2010. All right, the other thing I want to say too, right? I was very impressed last night about the procurement of contracts for small business people in terms of me, myself, being a small businessman. And I believe that small businessmen should benefit in this economy no matter what. We sat back in this country for the last 10 years, right? And saw contracts being awarded to three major construction firms in this country. With the money not filtering down, filtering around. So it never reached the people at the bottom. And that is why today now we are seeing some of the problems that we are seeing. You understand me? You cannot allow so much government work to go to just two or three major contractors, and the small contractors were not getting anything.
I'm glad you said that because I want to touch on something David said in terms of when you're listening to these people is how would you pick up the sincerity? Because I'm going to tell you, the Democratic Labour Party in their last manifesto spoke about giving 40% of the work to small contractors. Now, there's this notion right across the board that they didn't, that a few families have benefited. Michael Ashley himself, he said, when he was Minister of Housing, he got a $4 million loan from First Citizen Bank that employed small contractors, and they did all parish land, marks, field land, cast, and so on. Now, so we're getting the same promise, but how do you, as a voter, the electorate, decide whether it can be sincerely instituted?
No, it is. It's more than that, you know. It's more than that. When the Labour Party tried that with rural and urban, when they were in office, they also had to pay a price. The price is that a lot of the people who get that assistance are not as honest as they ought to be. And you have to put measures in place to protect the people's money. I mean, that I don't see how you can do one without the other. Checks and balances are necessary. It's laudable. It's necessary. But there are too many people in this country who believe that once they get money from the government, they don't have to repay. And now once they walk both behind you in a red shirt or a yellow shirt, that they got you in a position where they don't have to pay. And I would want to hear from any party. The Labour Party has enunciated its position, but I'm sure they're not the only ones who are going to come with this talk. What are you going to put in place to assist? And there's another part of it, you know. The other part of that is the technical side. There are a lot of people who don't just need the money. They need the know-how. They need the mentorship. You understand?
Yes. David, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was thinking, how would this subcontracting be operationalized? It dawned on me that the Rural Development Commission, the Urban Development Commission, had been doing the same thing, but that there had been abuses, both from the people who had been given loans and not repayment, as well as from the contractors themselves who had abused the system and not always given value for money. So I was wondering whether one way it might be to reconstitute the Urban and Rural Development Commission. First of all, change the location. I never quite understood how a Rural Development Commission can be the heart of Bridgetown, but that's a different matter. But you either reconstitute and re-equip, like you said, the expertise to guide, oversee, monitor, and revamp the whole approach so there'd be a new approach and philosophy as how this work is done.
You think that they can survive the rationalization of state-owned enterprises?
They might not, but if they don't survive as a single entity, the work that is done still needs to be carried out by somebody.
But David, can I ask Mr. Murray something?
Yes.
Can I ask Mr. Murray something?
Yeah, sure.
Can you honestly say what you think? Where do you think Rural is located in the city?
I could honestly say why
I think it was located where it's located. To be very honest, but I guess you all would not allow me to say that.
But don't say
it. I believe it was done for political reasons, to be very honest.
Location, but it was in the north before, though?
No? Yes, it was.
It was in St. Peter before, and then it came to the city. Mm-hmm. It was in the north where it was supposed to be the rule, but it was brought to the city because of political reasons.
Who's the landlord of the city? Well, you all
should know who the landlord of the city is. As simple as that. Okay.
But Colley thought you would have responded as a small contractor to the charges that David made.
Who's the landlord, David?
I've been too busy looking at other things to focus on the landlord.
Okay, well, that plays a big role, you know, David. That plays a big role.
All right.
But the other thing, too, David, I want to differ on you, too, about 2013 with Ms. Motley.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the same meeting at Bay Street.
Yeah.
And for all that, I think Ms. Motley went through with leading an election, what was done to her, as far as I'm concerned, I think she put up a very brave face, me personally, because I'll tell you something. I have said it, and I'll say it again. I am one of the people who, because of Oenathe, have decided to look at the Barbados Labour Party, just like Peter Wickham has said. I was born into the DLP household, but because of Oenathe, I decided I saw something in him that I identified with, and I started to look at the BLP because I grew up Libertarian, the BLP is the party, the white man, and the only big business. I came up with all that nonsense. And because of Oenase, I look at the BLP. But I'll tell you something. For a man that have done so much to this for this country, Mr. Arthur, I have a lot of respect for Mr. Arthur as a leader. But I'll tell you what, leading up to the last election, what he did to Miss Morley, I have no respect for him as a man for, and I have lost a lot of respect for Mr. Arthur personally. As a leader, I have a lot of respect for him for what he's done for this country between 94 and 2008.
One of the things about last night's launch that stood out. It stood out that they didn't only bring on the candidates, but they went back for some people who were seen as stalwarts of the Labour Party. And all of a sudden, a chunk of the Labour Party's history is now taking a little bit more of a...
center stage.
Yes. That part of the Labour Party history seemed to have been forgotten and lost. And here is the party now asserting, look, this party is bigger than any one person. And look, these stalwarts are here to give Mia Motley support. The most significant part of the last night's event for Mia Motley was the transition to her from Dame Billy Miller. When Dame Billy Miller said, it took 18 years for me to have two other women join me in the House of Assembly. And this is one of these women that joined me there. And this person is fit to lead. All right? I think that, to me, you could see how that was being, some people may say orchestrated.
That would have been the second time she would have said that, because I saw the video of the
Elders
thing. And she basically
said... The elders video was significant, because I must tell you that for a long time, it seemed as though that part of the Labour Party history was forgotten. And all of a sudden now, under her leadership, you are seeing it come back, where there's that sense of continuity. Now, what is crucial in all of this? That one should not displace the other. Mm-hmm. And it was very important for her to say last night that she thanked Mr. Arthur for giving her the chance to serve. But the aspects of the Arthur period, the positive aspects of the Arthur period, must also be remembered. It is unfortunate that because he is no longer with the party, as a consequence, he is not featuring. Now, I felt, looking at it last night, when they brought everything together, Owen Arthur, in my judgment, has made it possible for Mia Motley to emerge. If he had stayed in, it would have been more challenging for her. By coming out, the whole party coalesced around her.
Yeah, but David, that was when that announcement was made. That's immediately what came to mind at that point. He did her a major favor in terms of stepping out. The problem is that he still continues to be a protagonist, but the reality is that last night helped isolate him in terms of that action of trying to create problems. And, you know, I mean, there was a clip that came out from Barbados Today where he was talking about the third party role and whatnot. But again, a lot of these things now are being heard more as noises from a voice crying in the wilderness of trying to create trouble in a situation where there was an absence of tension on the platform last night. And I think when you cast your mind back to 2013, the tension was present, but there was no tension. And I think that more than anything else speaks volumes about the direction. And I agree fully with you regarding the role that the elders have been playing and the fact that there's a continuity. The Barbados Labour Party is the same institution that continues and grows under Mia Motley. And there's a transition in regard to leadership. And I think she's used the elders nicely to bridge this step from the Arthur era to the Motley era.
Ah, but what about class? What about, and Glenn, you could...
You mean social class?
Yeah, because you know the Democratic Labour Party has signaled quite clearly that this issue of class is going to be a significant one. So when you bring the elders now to reinforce their support, it also reinforces the notion of the class that supports Mia Motley. But
can I, because I mean, I heard Glenn on the issue earlier when he was talking about social psychology and whatnot, and if I could just get a chance now to say that, I think that Arthur bridged that gap, and I remember I had done polling in 2003, where we were asking people which party they thought represented the masses. And at that time, the Barbados Labour Party was seen as an institution that represented the masses. Now, in my opinion, this was significant because this was a space that the Dems occupied so well over the years. And I felt that Arthur had made it such that the Barbados Labour Party was now occupying that space. Now, the question then would have been, after this era, can the DLP still capitalize on that space? And I think that the DLP has done enough damage to the working classes, not only in terms of the university tuition fees, but in many other areas, that it is now open game for the Barbados Labour Party again to be able to say it can recapture. And I tell you, the feel on the ground last night, and I was in the crowd moving around and so on, and I am seeing many people that seem to represent the social class of which you speak, David, that appear to be quite comfortable, you know, not necessarily wearing red shirts, but I feel that it's fascinating in the way that someone with Mia Motley's background seems to be able to speak comfortably to people of the social socioeconomic class of which you speak.
How big was the crowd?
I hearing all kinds of estimates, but it's the biggest political meeting I've ever been to in Barbados. It was bigger than the one in Haggard Hall in 2008, which, in my opinion, heralded the beginning of the Democratic Labour Party's
march. I was at that meeting.
And it was bigger?
No, I can't say that.
You know, if I'm drawing photos, that was a big
crowd. This one looked pretty big.
It was a big
I saw some suggestion about figures of about 23,000 or something.
What I was looking for, and this is when I was happy to have gone, what I was looking for was to see whether it was a BLP mass base, and it wasn't. You know, the number of people I saw wearing red, that were not wearing a BLP red shirt that somebody gave them, that were just wearing something red. And then the number of people that were not wearing red, that were like me, just there, you know, seeing what was going on.
You were there like the Prime Minister says he spoke Barbados incognito.
Incognito. Yeah, I had to choose my color carefully.
But David, in relation to that class thing, and Glenn, I can bring it right in, I just want to say something really quickly. I think the advantage of the Barbados Labour Party of that class, and they have a leader like Mia Motley, who to me touches all the different classes, that I think that she has skill in doing that. Glenn, sorry, go right ahead.
No, I just want to say that it would be invidious of me to seek to... Mr. Arthur is writing his memoirs, and therefore I would defer for him to deal with those direct issues in those memoirs than for me to seek to interpret it in this public forum. I just leave it at that.
But no one was expecting you to defend him, though. I don't know.
We go back to the telephone lines. 80 minutes after.
Mr. Peter, I did not want to defend him.
Right, but you had to raise your tongue. You had to go there.
I was seeking.
We were talking about social class. We had to defend this Arthur.
All right, 80 minutes afternoon, we go back to the telephone lines. Caller, are you there? Good afternoon. And by the way, Miss Andy said to say, oh, y'all, that they have a problem with the bus, need ducking in the sea.
I want you to come and duck me. I told you last time, come and duck me.
Caller, sorry, good afternoon. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, you're on the air.
Right. I want to make a few quick comments, right? And I am saying that I'm going to make the point that this in terms of this platform, the launch that we're seeing unfolding now. I'm saying the Democratic Labour Party is, in my opinion, is going to attack the bees on a couple of fronts. And the main one, as they've already said, they will come with truth. This is going to be the main plank, the truth. But in the body and the truth, you will see the Arabian philosophy will start to come to the fore. Okay. That's the two main plan.
What is the Arabar philosophy?
Okay, I'm going to tell you. But I'm saying that if you don't know, well, I'm sorry. But the Arabar philosophy of bringing benefits, the major benefit, whatever the country in it, that the country has, in anywhere the country has benefited, to bring the benefits to the masses of the people in this country, and tangible ways. That was the hallmark of the Barra process going back there. I don't want to describe everything that happened. But Barrow looked at the masses, the people, not just a small group in private sector a small, narrow parcel interstate, as the BLP tends to do. Barrow was more massive country. And that is what you're going to see with the DLP platform. And they're going to expose the huff, puff, and fluff of the Barbados Labour Party as they go through the camp. They're not spectacular as the bees are coming forward with right now. They're not going to be spectacular in that kind of way, but they're going to be precise and truthful. And it's going to cut like a knife in the BLP.
But you see, you're talking about untruthful, right? So that means you're saying the other person is not truthful. And I'm having a difficulty with that because, quite frankly,
you always have a difficulty when anybody says get the BLP.
It is so sad, right? There's what saddens me in this country is that anytime you have to do anytime you have to do an analysis of anything and ask questions, searching questions, people get personal and people always try to make a suggestion that you are for the other side. It is really, really silly. And you need to stop it.
I consistently listen to you on the program. And you and Peter Wickham going back, this is why I would believe that y'all have, the terms of Mr. Wickham has been limited his program for a little while because he was so negative that all he does has a...
I've been limited?
Let me say something to you. Let me say something to you about your contribution just now. I hear all that you have said, and you speak as though you are within the bosom of the Democratic Labour Party, and you know. Just hold on, please, sir.
Yeah.
All two of us can't talk at the same time.
Go ahead. I'm listening, sir.
It sounds a little too confusing. So I'm saying to you that I can only wait and see how the Democratic Labour Party campaign unfolds. The Democratic Labour Party has, of necessity, to attack the leadership of the Barbados Labour Party because it's part of political strategy. But it also has to convince Barbadians as to why they should re-elect them to a third term based upon what has and what has not happened in the last 10 years. And that we anxiously wait to hear and to formulate our own opinions on those things. You have brought to us what appears to be mere speculation on your part.
Yeah.
And I don't think that any one of us here should really chase you with speculation. No. We were not speculating. We were talking earlier about the launch of one party. And I expect that tomorrow, in Down to Brass Tacks, we will look at the launch of the other party as well.
Right. Just give me a chance to say one more thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so the election is not just about the last 10 years. It's going to be the last 15, 20 years, particularly how we get to, how we managed to come to where we are in these last 10 years. So don't tell me the 10 years. We're going to see how we get to where we are, and all of it is going to come to a head.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you, caller, is if you think that the Democratic Labour Party is going to have trust issues in this campaign based on the events of last thing. Because a big part of what you're saying is that people need to be able to hear someone and believe that what they're saying is true and that they're willing to commit in terms of what they're doing. Do you think that based on what has happened of late, certainly past 2013, that the Democratic Labour Party is going to have trust issues? Do you believe that Minister Sinclair, for example, when he speaks and says things are going to happen, that the people in Barbados are going to believe him and so on going forward?
What really concerns me, I don't think they're going to have any trust issues.
Okay.
I believe the members of the Democratic Labour Party, the cabinet, the government, are honest people, hard workers, and really...
Not what you believe. Do you believe that the majority of Barbadians believe?
No, I'm saying what I really think is really the real focus that we should focus on.
Do you believe that the majority of Barbadians believe? Not, I'm asking you what you think in terms of a perception.
I can't answer what you want me to answer. Because I am telling you that I believe that our challenge in this going forward will be the social challenge. Mm-hmm. The social, the young people, how you deal with those young people that are coming through, when all of them wanted, a lot of them gravitated towards the SCB because of they believed they could get away with all the wrongdoings that.
All right, let's move on.
All right, thank you. We're heading towards the latest. Let's see if we can get another call in. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, good afternoon.
I'm on air?
Yes, live and direct.
Well, no, I want to say that having heard everybody speak, talking about the fanfare and whatnot, you all remember last election that the Democratic Labor Party had billboards all around this country? Do you all remember? And they were full of all fanfare. I can't see why is it that a launch meeting could invoke so much negative comments from your panel. Especially when I heard someone talking about friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. To compare that with that meeting last night, it had nothing to do with Mark Anthony.
Sir, let me step in here, please, because I know who panel you're talking. I wonder what people listening to. Yeah, yeah. My comment was to Mr. Murray. He mentioned crowds, and I said my only challenge is that I feel crowds have no mind. And then I change that to say there is a collective mind when Glenn said, you know, talked about the psychology. You know, that's one of the reasons why I don't like to comment. I wish I had taken the next 3 weeks off as my vacation. The truth is, I cannot understand people who don't understand the way I speak.
He was only talking about what you said.
But that's the only person who mentioned friends, Romans, countrymen was me.
Glenn had spoken.
No, I am the only person who mentioned friends, Romans, countrymen.
Yeah, but you, anyhow, you were saying, sir?
I want to say that, I had made a reference to the Romans too, but not in the detail that you did. Just the fact that human nature is human nature. It has not changed over the years. Human behavior has not changed over the years, really. And they're still there for people are still susceptible and vulnerable to influences from others in, for political and other political marketing, whatever, a promotional purpose. That's my point.
I still couldn't figure out exactly where the caller was going.
He was saying we were overly negative in the launch and to me.
I don't think he got a chance to finish the point.
He didn't get a chance to finish the point, so I didn't understand where he was going.
We're
going to the lunchtime edition of The Latest. I have a notice here from the Barbados Light and Power Company. They're carrying out maintenance work in the Christchurch area today. The work is expected to be completed by 2 this afternoon. Customers in the following areas have been affected: Sheraton Park, Sergeant's Village, Vauxhall, Graham Hall, Warners, and Warners Terrace. The Barbados Light and Power Company apologizes for the inconvenience caused and thanks customers for their patience and understanding in this matter. Brass Tack Sunday, in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. The latest is next.
To know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined, that is one reason why the beautiful permaclad U-panel and R-panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joints from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices, delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas 425-2000 or Lowlands Christchurch 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.